I'm doing this with my wife because I want a better relationship, because I want to work on those things that are within me, because I know that these things help to expose areas that I need to work on. But it's not something that we all have to do, but my encouragement is that we would. Because there's some quality things in there. There's a lot there that I can go into through the book. Especially for this week, there were some really neat nuggets that are coming up. You know, one of the things it talks about is love is not irritable. And love believes the best. And that's one of the things that I wanted to exhort you about briefly. Because there is what they begin to talk about, and they lay it out in a way that I've never seen before, but it's good. There's a room of appreciation and a room of depreciation. And appreciation has to do with all those things that you've seen and believed, and it's all those things that you've stored away about this person that you like. And how, as we begin to go through life, oftentimes we start out focusing on the room of appreciation, and we see what it is, that the good characteristics of this person. And we store those things away, and we begin to just meditate those things. And as we do so, that makes that person that much more desirable to us. But there's also the room of depreciation. And after a while, we begin to spend less and less time in the world of appreciation and spend more time in the depreciation. And when that begins, there's an end in sight. Because in the deep world of depreciation, then we're seeing all the characteristics that unfortunately make them human. The things where they fall down and they're less than what we anticipated, what we expected. Every person in here has wonderful characteristics. Every person in here has some deficiencies that need worked on. That's the one of the things that I've known in my own personal walk, is to spend more time looking at the room of appreciation. And I'm not saying being in denial, because you're not supposed to be in denial about what their deficits are. Because those are things that you shouldn't be in denial about. You should be praying about it. But you shouldn't be in denial. But see, love makes a choice to look into the things that can be appreciated about another person. Love makes a choice to claim ownership over those good things. Love makes a choice to begin remembering and recalling those things that are there, that are valuable about this relationship. And it's in that choice that we begin to differentiate ourselves. Because most people will only go with the flow. Someone comes alongside you and just begins to speak about another person, and instead of saying, wait a second, yeah, they may have that characteristic, maybe even some of those things are true, but look at this also. Most people won't do that. Most people will just come into agreement with whatever's being said. And then what does that do? That has the effect of dragging you right down in the same place, in the same pit. You know, I've had some unique opportunities to get to know people. I've counseled a lot of people. And then the other thing, the other side of it is this: God just divinely shows me things about people. And not all of it's good. It's not all right. But he shows you those things when you come to that place, because he wants you to know why they're acting the way that they're acting. He wants you to know how to pray for this individual over that situation. And sometimes he wants you to intervene. You know, I've had the unfortunate circumstance, because unfortunate that it came up, but of walking by somebody and God goes, they're in adultery. And I thought, I don't know that I want to know that. And is now what you want? Now what do you want me to do? And then he told me, I want you to address it. So that meant I had to go address it. Just because he shows you something, don't automatically assume that you're supposed to. But we did, and there was a tremendously wonderful result and a wonderful relationship has been birthed out of that place, out of something that could have been very contentious. Something actually wonderful and came out of that. There was another time when I walked into this room and there was a meeting and there was a little girl. I mean, she was only like 12. Sitting kind of sleeping on the couch while the meeting was going on because I arrived late. And as soon as I walked in, I just knew. I just knew what was happening to her, how she was being violated. And her grandmother was there, and I just began to just, I had to go, I went to the actual pastor in that particular establishment. I said, here's what I believe is happening. And when they began to check into it, in fact, and indeed it was, and we were able to put a stop to some very terrible things. So you just got to be sensitive in your spirit. You know, sometimes God will show you that somebody's stealing. And he doesn't show you he shows you so that you know, not even to address it. I've never addressed it yet. But to know. Because see, when we know what's in people's heart and we accept them anyway, God's doing something in their on their behalf. And because when we can begin to know, and sometimes people will actually know when you know. And if you don't address it, but you continue to accept them, they're receiving something that they never had a chance to receive before. That acceptance and that love. Each one of us is a vessel for love. Hallelujah. So this week, there was a couple of things. There was the first dare is choosing to react to tough circumstances in your marriage in loving ways instead of with irritation. Begin to make a list of the areas where you need to add time to your schedule. Most of the reasons that we operate in irritation are either the anger that we've suppressed or our own selfishness. Now, there's another way when we haven't dealt with something that we know we're supposed to deal with. When I start responding to people around me in a way that I feel is irritable, and I go, then I know that that's my thing to look inside and go, okay, what have I not dealt with? What am I pushing down and I pushed off to the side that I was supposed to deal with? Sometimes it's something about me. Sometimes it's something about a relationship. Sometimes it's something about an interaction with another person. But whenever we begin to feel powerless in a situation, we're going to display it somewhere else as irritation. Whenever we're wanting something that we can't get, it's going to become an irritation. Lust, for example, is a result of being ungrateful. Because this is part of selfishness. Being ungrateful for what you have and choosing to covet or burn with passion for something that is forbidden. Bitterness. Lust is actually defined as an active desire resulting from a diseased condition of the soul. An active desire resulting from a diseased condition of the soul. Because when our soul is not right, then we begin to see these things. So for example, with pornography, the root with pornography is not sex. The root of pornography is a lack of love. It's a lack of love. Because when people don't feel love, then they look for another outlet. They look for some way to make themselves feel good about themselves. The same way when you're a spendaholic, what are you really looking for? You're looking for some kind of appreciation. You're looking for some kind of a quick fix. I know people who've got closets full of clothes or houses and cars and all these things because all they're trying to do is medicate that need for appreciation. I'm trying to medicate that lack of love and understanding. Those things are lust. And it's sin in that it shows a lack of appreciation, a lack of thankfulness for what you actually have. Bitterness takes root when you respond to it in a judgmental way and refuse to work through your anger. I was at this church one time, and this little lady, she came up and she had back problems. She was probably 70-some years old, a little frail-looking little thing, all bent over with her back problems. And at that point in time, I was relatively new Christian, like just within months of being saved. And I was supposed to be praying for her. And the Lord says she has bitterness because of her relationship with her son. And I just couldn't, you know, at that point in time, I couldn't just come up and confront somebody like that, especially not some 70-year-old lady who looked as sweet as could be, but her back problem was related to that, to the strife, to that churning of anger that had been left there and that she wouldn't release. And because as they've proven scientifically that as when we're angry, there's a deposit that's made in our bones. There's a deposit that's made in the joints. And see, that churning of anger began over a period of time, took its toll on her physical health. In this particular case, in the form of pain in her back. Hallelujah. Greed, bitterness, pride. See, pride leads you to act harshly to protect your ego and reputation. But the thing we need to realize is that those motivations and those expectations, they can never be satisfied. There's never enough. When you start thinking that buying cars is your answer, there's never enough cars. When homes or houses or kids or any of those things are your answer, there's never enough. When gambling is your answer, there's never enough. When going to the movies is your answer, there's never enough. It doesn't matter what it is. It only matters where you put your faith. And that's the beautiful thing about accepting and finding Christ, is because we can find something that is enough. We can find something that actually satisfies and is a well of life. As he spoke to the woman at the well, I have water that will cause you to never thirst. In John 4. He wants to pour out something in your life that will keep you from ever having need to thirst again. So I just encourage you, interact with these things this week. Begin to look for the positive attributes in the people that are around you. Not just the one you're doing the love dare with, but in everybody else. Make some mental notes. Compliment them on those things. When they do well, compliment them. Be surprising. Just a phone call and a compliment will do. Amen? Hallelujah. I had wanted to talk about offense. But we took a little bit different direction. But I would like to turn to Ephesians 4. And this kind of, we were visited there just the other day. And in Ephesians 4, we'll just start in verse 1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, entreat you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called, and with all humility and gentleness, with patience, showing forbearance to one another in love. What have we been talking about today? Showing forbearance. Being diligent to preserve the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And then we skip down to, you see in verse 11, he says he gives some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the service, to the building up of the body of Christ. And the verse 13, the next thing I want to highlight is, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the mature measure of the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. See, what I wanted to focus on is that there's a unity that comes, there's a unity of spirit that comes just because we've accepted Christ. Just because we've made a decision to accept who He is. There's a unity of the Spirit that is born even in that moment, because there's a unity that God has, that God has established for each of us. Now, some of our brothers and sisters may not look and act just exactly the same as we do. My Episcopalian brother-in-law doesn't believe the same way I do. But I still need to accept him and who he is. I still need to acknowledge all that is the same within our relationship. I need to acknowledge where Jesus Christ is alive and well in both of our lives. Because I can tell you that I see Jesus in this man's life, where the rubber meets the road, where his family is concerned and his relationships are concerned. I see Jesus Christ in action in his life. Do I believe that I need to have an organ and all the other things that he thinks that he has to have, with these big pipes and all that, in order to have worship? Uh-uh. That's not my style. But at the same time, I can believe in the same Jesus Christ. And that's the part where we need to be able to accept one another. We need to be able to look out and reach out and realize that not one of us thinks and totally agrees with any of the others. But unity doesn't come from everybody being the same. Unity comes from us having a common goal and a common purpose, a purpose to love and to reach out to one another. See, the word there in verse 3, it says, keep this unity. So by definition, we must already have it. Even though in verse 13 it says, until we attain to the unity of the faith. We're trying to keep this in the meantime while we're being prepared. God is doing a work in each and every one of us, and we have to keep on, hang on to that, the unity of the Spirit, even while we're working out a unity in faith. Because I believe as we stand, Ann, would you stand up? Sue, would you come here and stand right here? Kim, would you stand up? Now, if Ann and Kim will take one step towards Sue and another 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 step towards Sue, okay? As we keep coming to Christ, as we keep coming to Christ, we come together. Yes? Amen. Thank y'all. Hey, and you're both wearing red. That was perfect. covered up Christ in red. So the closer we are to Christ, the closer we are to each other. Me and my brother-in-law may not agree about the issue of tongues just yet, but I know that there's a day coming when we will. Okay? There's a day coming when we're going to agree on some of these other things that we don't agree on just yet. But as we come to Christ, all those other issues fall aside. Hallelujah. You know, if a Marine is willing to lay his life down for a friend, for a comrade in arms, for somebody he may not even know, if he's willing to lay his life down for you, shouldn't you be willing to lay your life down for another Christian? They're doing that in the world system. We need to be just as upright. I want to encourage you to embrace the person, even if you don't embrace what they do. Okay? Embrace them, even if we don't embrace what they do. Not everyone's going to look like we do, but at the same time, we should embrace them. Above all things, we're called to love one another. And if we're out of fellowship with somebody, then we need to look and examine ourselves and examine our hearts and find out the reason. Because a lot of times we're quicker to get offended and walk away from somebody over an issue of their doctrine than we are whether or not they're in sin. And that's the only legitimate reason. Flagrant sin is the only legitimate reason to be out of fellowship with somebody, according to the Bible. There's something in our society that doesn't, we don't look at it that way. One thing I'm not saying, though, I'm not saying that you have to submit to their doctrine. Because you accept the person doesn't mean you accept everything that they do. I'm not saying that you need to, just because they go drinking, doesn't mean that you need to go drinking. I'm not saying that. Especially if you have a weak area in your life, don't allow them to be the thing that drags you down. Don't allow that to be the stumbling block. If they have an offense, and you're not strong enough to weather that offense, don't let them draw you into it. Don't let them draw you into it anyway, period. But what I'm saying is that if they have an offense, those things can get off on your life. Those things want to come along and they want to begin to rub up alongside you until you get like that. That's the nature of offense. It wants to put you in that place where you begin to take on that same character and that same way. Don't wallow with them. Don't wallow with them. As we recall from what we taught the other day in verse 15, we begin to work on this situation by changing ourselves, by looking to who we are. We begin to show love by looking at who we are. We begin to share our love and our testimony by working and changing and being diligent with the things that are within us. Because it's not my job to change my brother. It's my job to change myself and set an example for my brother. And then I'll allow God to deal with everyone else. Even as pastor, we're here to come alongside, but we're not here to change you. I'm here to help you see the way, but I can't make you change. I don't even desire to make you change. Or at least I'm not supposed to. There are some times that I do. And I'm working on that. That's part of the works thing that I'm having to work out. Because all these things are important, because why? Because as we go through life, we're going to find out that this person that we've cut ourselves off from, according to verse 16, we see that that person was the supply for our joint. They were the ones who were joined to us to be our supply. So when we cut ourselves off from somebody, we're cutting ourselves off from our supply. And guess what? If you're the bone that's up here, and this was the bone that you severed off, the supply you severed off. Now, not only do you not get the supply you're supposed to get, but the rest of the hands and the arm and the elbow and the forearms don't get it either. So not only have you cut off your supply, but you've cut off the supply of another. So when we begin to react in offense, for example, if we react in offense to a pastor, for example, then that supply that he is being for you is being cut off. You're no longer receiving that word. You're no longer receiving that truth. You're no longer receiving that love. And then all the people that you affect in your life can't receive those things either. So there's a reason for us to work on the offenses that are in our lives. Because we want to be a supply and we don't want somebody to be cutting off our supply. Next week, I'll speak to you more. about this because I have some things, five steps that we can do to address offense in our life. I have things that we can do to begin to recognize it. And how do we begin to recognize it? What characterizes it? What causes it? What do we do about it? 1 Peter 4:8 says, above all, keep fervent in your love for one another, because love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. The same word for this being translated sins can be translated as offenses. So for, you know, I don't know if you guys had the opportunity during the Love Dare here last week, but there was an opportunity there to be offended with somebody when you asked them to share and they told you what it was that they thought you needed to work on. There was an opportunity to be offended. Whatever your opportunity to be offended is, allow God's love to cover that multitude of offense. Allow God's love to rise up in you such that it covers those offenses. Because it's more than possible. It's more than possible. And it's His desire to operate in you that way. And as you'll find, what is you allow Him to be, to operate in you this way, there's a clearing out of your own vessel. You know, when I got saved, I asked God to make me a conduit of His love. I didn't know. I had no idea what I was asking for. Because that means you get to die to self over and over and over. And it's a good thing. Because the more that I die to self, the less I find that I need those other things. All those little things that I used to think were so important, they're not. I can tell you, I sleep so soundly and so wonderfully these days. It's just amazing. Because I don't let those things pull on me anymore. I don't have to. All the things of you've got to do this so you can earn that, so you can get to this place, so that this person can look at you differently. Hello? Why do we do that? Why do we spend all of our lives trying to achieve some status in somebody else's eyes? And meanwhile, we're stepping all over to people that are important to us, that are in our family and our friends, in order to get to this place. What peace is there in that? What righteousness or justice is there in that? This week's challenges are about reprioritizing. The thing about adjusting your schedule, it's about reprioritizing what's important. Last week was about learning how to lay down something of yourself for that other person. It's all a matter of clearing out, allowing God to do something in our lives that's different. Allowing the majesticness of His love to shine forth. Hallelujah. So I encourage you, 1 Peter 4:8, above all, keep fervent in your love one for another, because love covers a multitude of sin. I encourage you this week to press into that statement, to press into that verse, to begin, ask God to show you a little bit of what this means. What's it look like in your life? It really doesn't matter so much what it looks like in Pastor Chuck's life. The place where the rubber's going to hit the road is what it looks like in your life. Amen?